So we work directly with marketing agencies, and we essentially are the back office for them. So we provide services, anything from general admin services to all the way to like website development. So any service that an agency needs to fulfill client work or to fulfill their own marketing needs, we can handle.
Are you ready to hear business stories and learn effective ways to build relationships, generate sales, and level up your business from awesome CEOs, entrepreneurs, and founders without listening to a long, long, long interview? If so, you've come to the right place. Gresh values your time and is ready to share with you the valuable info you're in search of. This is the I Am CEO Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresh from the I Am CEO Podcast, and I have a very special guest back on the show today. I have Amy Foley. Amy, excited to have you back on the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, absolutely. You're doing so many phenomenal things. So super excited to kind of jump in and hear a little bit more on all the awesome things that you're doing. But of course, before we do that, I want to read a little bit more about Amy so you can hear about some of those awesome things. And Amy started her entrepreneurial journey in 2011 when she left her corporate job to have more flexibility and time with her family and started a small virtual assistant business. The business evolved with the help of her co-founder, Michael Reynolds, into what is now known as Inbound Back Office, which provides back office support to marketing agencies. Amy has over 25 years of administrative experience in various industries, including manufacturing, real estate, accounting, marketing, SaaS, and many more. She has a BA in business administration and a master's in information systems. When she's not running her business, she enjoys spending time with her family, running, reading, traveling, organizing any and everything, and optimizing her health. And Amy was a guest on our episode 665 of our IMCO podcast. So super excited to hear about all the awesome things she's been doing since then. And they have loads of great information as well too on their podcast. So I'm sure we'll get a way to try to subscribe and listen to all the awesome things. But what I love about hearing her journey and her growth for the organization is that the virtual assistant business that she had has grown into so much more than I think what she anticipated. So super excited to hear about that journey. Amy, are you ready to speak to the IMCO community?
I am. Let's do it.
And so to kind of kick everything off, let's rewind the clock a little bit, hear a little bit more on what you've been working on, how you got started, and what led you to all the awesome things you're doing.
Yeah. So as far as how it all started, in 2011, I did end up leaving my corporate job after my son broke his femur, and they wouldn't let me work from home. Of course, that was before work from home was really a thing. So they eventually did let me, and then I wanted to do it more because I realized it was so amazing. And they said, absolutely not. So that's kind of when I started looking for, I initially was looking for like an actual job working from home, and I found one part-time. So to get my foot in the door and to kind of feel, you know, what it felt like to work virtually for a company, I did that on nights and weekends, and then it turned into a full-time job. Once I got really efficient at my job, I had some extra time on my hands. So I thought, you know, if I can do this for a company, like I could do this for myself, for other companies. So I went out looking on Twitter for other companies, and I found three people who were ready to hire me in the first week. And nice. I was like, okay, now I got to figure out what I'm supposed to do now. So I just kind of made it up as I went along. And I mean, they just kept referring people to me. I very rarely had to go out and look for clients. And that's when I realized that this is a real need and I should probably try to make this into a business so that I can do it full time because I really loved it. And I was not loving my full time job at the time. So I hired a business coach who let me barter with her because I couldn't afford her. And she gave me all the steps I needed to do to just like, you know, minimal viable, you know, kind of business. I didn't want any bells and whistles, nothing fancy. I just wanted to be able to run the business. And she helped me so much. And, you know, when I had too many clients for the hours that I had in a day, I would hire a contractor to help. And then that just kept happening. And before I knew it, we had 20 team members, and then 40, nice. And then 50, and then 60. So it just grew super organically like that. And there was never any, you know, big goals. Like I want to make this kind of company. It just kind of evolved.
Yeah. I absolutely love that. And I love it because a lot of what you did is in kind of like identifying even the need. I wrote down, build a plane on the way down. Sometimes you're not sure exactly what to do, but you're like, I'm really passionate about this. It seems like there's something there, and you just kind of lean into that from there.
Yeah, for sure. And in fact, so my very first client was a marketing agency owner. And at that time, I was just taking anybody who needed help, right? And he and his team were willing to like train me on all of their stuff so that I could help them. And once we were working together for like a year, he came to me and said, hey, you know, I have so many colleagues in the agency world that need this service and it does not exist out there. You know, what do you think about joining forces and like, cause I know how to build an actual company like with payroll and stuff like that. And you know how to do the hiring and are good at the execution, like together we could really make this a thing. And so that's what we ended up doing. That's how I partnered with Michael. And that just really took it off. And so marketing was never really anything I was super interested in. It was nothing I really thought about, but we just kind of like took that path and it ended up working out.
Yeah, it's kind of beautiful when you take those steps. Well, I wanted to drill down a little bit. I know we touched on it a little bit. Hear a little bit more on how you're working with your clients. Could you take us through what that process looks like?
Yeah, so we work directly with marketing agencies, and we essentially are the back office for them. So we provide services, anything from general admin services to all the way to like website development. So any service that an agency needs to fulfill client work or to fulfill their own marketing needs, we can handle. So we're broken out into separate teams. Each team has its own manager. So they kind of operate as their own kind of little companies, and they work directly with the clients, sometimes with the end clients, depending on the nature of the service. And it's all on demand, which is really what our clients like, with no, like, there's no subscriptions, there's no monthly fees, no minimums, nothing like that.
Surcharges.
Yeah, it's super like, if you use 5 minutes of our time, that's what we're going to bill you. Like, that's literally what it is. And I think it's super refreshing for clients to, I mean, in this day and age of all of the subscriptions. And it's just like, well, what if I don't use it enough and all of that? So we just kind of took all of that, you know, stress out of their lives. And another thing that kind of sets us apart is when I was starting, I would get a lot of people who would say, you know, well, I can get cheaper help, you know, overseas or in another country or something like that. And, you know, to which I've always said and stood by, yes, you can. And I've hired admins from overseas and they're great to a point, you know, it's almost like if you want, you know, higher level things, you kind of like cultural things and communication type things, like you're just not going to get that in a company overseas. Like, and I've experienced that, so I can speak to the experience that they are probably having. So, you know, we always have people who will go try doing it that way, saving some money. And then eventually they come back because they realize for this type of work, you know, I mean, depending on the service and depending on what tasks they are. I'm not saying every single task is done better by a US company. Certainly not. But, you know, overall for what our agencies are looking for help with, like they need US people who are used to working, you know, for US companies and for, you know, US end clients, like they just understand how it all works just a little bit better.
Perfect. Perfect. So I wanted to switch gears a little bit and I wanted to ask you for what I call a CEO hack. So this could be like an Apple book or even a habit that you have, but what's something that you lean on that makes you more effective and efficient?
To be honest, it's something that I know helps me so much and I don't do it enough. I'm not sure the psychology behind it. So time boxing, because essentially scheduling out all of your tasks on your calendar, because, you know, I have a to-do list that is 10 miles long. And, you know, especially in this, the way that we work today, like it's never like, oh, we'll get to it tomorrow. It's just like this never ending list. And we just feel like we have to just keep plugging away at it to get everything done. it's never all going to get done. Like, it's just going, things are just going to keep being added to the end. And so I found myself getting overwhelmed just looking at the list and going, man, I have so much to do. So when I actually force myself, and I do have to force myself and I don't know why, like, I know it makes my life so much better, but yet I resist it, to schedule out all of the tasks so I can see realistically, this is what I'm getting done today around all the other things like appointments and, you know, eating, you know, I mean, like, you know, picking up kids and things like that. This is realistically what I'm getting done today. And I just have to make peace with that. And that's how it is. And it just brings such a sense of calm. And also just to see, like, okay, this is what I'm working on right now, instead of looking at the list and trying to figure out, like, what do I work on next? And I spend like 15 minutes, like, trying to figure out the best thing to work on next. Like, it just makes it so much more calm and efficient.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. So what would you consider to be what I like to call a CEO nugget? A little bit more word of wisdom or piece of advice. I like to say it might be something you would tell your favorite client, or if you hopped into a time machine, you might tell your younger business self.
I always tell people to hire people better than you. I find that there's a lot of egos in business, and, you know, a lot of people just love being, you know, a manager or a boss so they can tell people what to do. But I learned very early on, and probably learned it from being an employee and realizing what not to do, is that I hire people who have skills that I don't have and who are way better than me at what they're doing. They're experts. And then I let them go do their thing. Like, I don't get into micromanaging. I don't, you know, you come to me if there's something you need, but otherwise I'm getting out of your way, because that's what I hired you to do. And I have found that that is the key. I mean, I have, certainly we have turnover, but I have team members who have been here since day one. And so, like, there's something to be, I mean, obviously that's, you know, evidence that they love that type of, you know, work environment where they are considered experts in what they do. They know that they were hired to be an expert, and I'm actually letting them be the expert they are.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. So now I want to ask you my absolute favorite question, which is the definition of what it means to be a CEO. And our goal is to have different quote-unquote CEOs on the show. So Amy, what does being a CEO mean to you?
Being a CEO to me means, it means two things. Being able to help people with something that they need help with. I love being able to help, and that's been my mindset since the beginning. I've never been a, you know, I need to make so much money. It was always about helping and how many clients can we help, and also giving an amazing work environment for our people, because that is something that I was looking for when this all kind of started. And it was always my intention to make a way better work environment than I ever had. So those are the two things that really define CEO for me.
Yeah, I love that. And it almost seems like it's a part of, or at least an extension of, the culture that you've been able to create as well, too, by having that environment where people can kind of flourish. And I think I love that it goes back to what you were looking to do kind of in the beginning. You were trying to help. You were on Twitter, you know, trying to figure out ways to kind of help people. And in the same way, you're providing that opportunity for clients, and then also saying, okay, I didn't have this great work environment. I didn't necessarily want to be in this position much longer. So let me create that environment so that I can, you know, pay that forward to myself and the organization and the people within it.
Yes, for sure. And it's been a little challenging now that a lot of companies have gone to virtual work environments. So as far as like competing for, you know, employees who are looking for that, because they can kind of find that everywhere at this point, but it just kind of made us up our game and really, you know, hone in on, you know, a lot of these other companies that were in office and now are virtual. They still have that in-office mentality. And so we still stand out because this is where we started. And, you know, my intention when I was hiring was to make it a super flexible workplace where people had autonomy. And so I think that a lot of the people that we tend to hire maybe have tried other companies and realized that not all virtual companies are the same.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Well, Amy, truly appreciate that definition. And of course, I appreciate your time even more. So what I want to do now is pass you the mic, so to speak, just to see if there's anything additional that you can let our readers and listeners know. And of course, how best people can get a hold of you and find out about all the awesome things you and your team are working on.
Yeah, for sure. We have a podcast that I started years ago. I handed it over to one of our teammates to host for a while, and I have actually taken it back over. So excited to say that my first episode should come out shortly. So check out our podcast, and you can find that on our website, which is inboundbackoffice.com. And we're always looking for marketing agency owners to be guests. So feel free to sign up if you're interested. And I am very active on LinkedIn. That's the one social platform that you should find me on. You can just find me at Amy Foley.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, thank you so much again, Amy, to make that even easier. Of course, we're going to have the links and information in your show notes as well, too. And I truly appreciate you, obviously, for taking some time out today. And I hope you have a phenomenal rest of the day.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the I Am CEO podcast, powered by CB Nation and Blue 16 Media. Tune in next time and visit us at imceo.co. IMCEO is not just a phrase, it's a community. Don't forget to schedule your complimentary digital marketing consultation at blue16media.com. This has been the IMCEO podcast with Gresham Harkless Jr. Thank you for listening.